The following is an exclusive interview with Lower Brule Tribal Councilman Louis Grassrope, recorded April 22nd on Unchi Makah Day.
Ho ho, dokahe, dokahe, Super Not Joe here, KIPI 93.5 FMHD. We are here at the Big Red Teepee at the center of the universe. We have a very special guest in the house today, Louis Grassrope, all the way from Lower Brule.
Yes.
All right. Why don't you go ahead and introduce the people? You move that mic a little closer to you there.
All right.
And go ahead. Just tell the people who you are and what you're doing.
Oh, how mataki api. We chak mikasapa imachi apa shichangu lakota himacha. Na etaha pejiwa kanti oshpe kuichasha oshpai. My Lakota is not fluent, but what I said is that my Mila Hanska Kaje is Louis Grassrope, but my Lakota name is Wise Star, and I come from the Grassrope Teoshpe there in Lower Brule, down in Shichangu country there and down in Lower Brule. So like I said, it's just an honor to be here amongst the four bands that are here within the Cheyenne River, especially always coming here. It always feels good to travel within your lands to see the beautiful Makoche that you guys have. Like I said, it's just great to be here, and it's an honor, and say Wopila to relatives that invited me here.
Oho. And so you come down for the our Unchi Makah celebration. How did that all go down? I wasn't able to make it. I was chained up at the radio station, but how did it all go down for you guys yesterday?
It was great. I think even on all the reservations, it's happening all across Indian country. But, you know, the important message is always the thing that I look at. But just coming here, I got to eat some great buffalo.
Oh.
You know, buffalo sandwiches. It was great. Just to have that in the welcoming was great here. But like I said, that's the important part.
Right on. And, Louis, you were, you're all about, you know, the protection of Unchi Makah, Mother Earth, activism and whatnot. You were one of the main ones at the forefront, is that right, for the pipeline and everything? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that through history, it's always been there. But it was also the thing of being, like I said, it's great to be known as in that part, but the whole fact is like I don't consider myself in any of that. What I do consider myself is being a true human being to what the Unchi Makah is, and being a relative to all that is, especially when it comes to the seven generation thinking, and you know, being a part of some of the stuff that I was a part of, and being at the forefront of it was a great experience, because in the end we got to see, we use Standing Rock as an example, as we got to see an old way of living. And no one got to be a part of that. It existed, and we got to see what Wopay actually looks like, and all that traditional and natural laws that work together. And that's what we're seeing and missing within our Oyates right now. But it's okay, because in the end, we're slowly sending the message that we need to remember who we truly are. And Unchi Makah keeps on reminding us daily, because if she didn't exist, we wouldn't have a breath of life, and she wouldn't give a breath of life. And so today is, you know, is a great day for our non-indigenous people that have created this day as Earth Day, as Unchi Makah Day. But for us Native Indigenous people, it's every day's Earth Day. You know, we always take, and we get to get back to that, is how are we taking care of our mother? And that really, really kind of gets me to. And when my mom was still in this world, she would always talk about stuff like this, and I always sit around and listen to her. But we need to start doing that with Mother Earth, with Unchi Makah, because we don't do that, and we don't protect her enough. Instead, we dab into the things that we just stood against in NoDAPL, KXL, all this raping and pillaging of our lands. But either we start waking up to who we truly are as Lakota, Dakota, Nakota people, or any of the indigenous nations, and start to wake up and find our blueprints, you know, the original DNA to Unchi Makah. And once we start awakening that, you'll start seeing, you know, some people, and since we live in this time and age, you can't, you have to reference to things. So I always look at the movie Avatar. You know, Avatar, you see them with their long braids, and they reattach themselves back there and build their connection back to Unchi Makah. you know, with all of us Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota people, that's what we need to do. We need to really reconnect ourselves. All the answers that we seek in our life, she provides for us daily. We just don't know how to read it anymore. We don't listen enough, and we tend to just block it out and think that the great father over in the other side is going to save us.
Well, I often say, you know, Standing Rock, like you said, it was a perfect example to see, you know, the people coming together, not just the Lakota, Nakota, Dakota, but all tribes. You know, there was every tribe represented on that. And I often look at it as you said, we need to wake up. People need to wake up. That was like, seems to me like the spark. There was a spark at Standing Rock that brought us all together, and now we can see. But we need to bring that back, exactly like you said.
And that's like, for me, I had to really think about the last name. And it takes you down to traumatic history, traumatic experiences, but I had to look at my last name and say, who's Grassrope? You know, who is that? And that goes down to the first Grassrope and where we come from. And he was at the battle at the Greasy Grass over there. And he was only 12 years old. But when you start thinking about, when you start going down that back to finding out and awakening who you are, your DNA with inside you starts to really start awakening. For me, it was just finding out what my name really meant and how I got it. And that really treasured the piece. So then going to all these, you know, KXL and into DAPL, into the further other fights that are happening around globally, DAPL was there, or I kind of quit saying DAPL, but in the end, you know, what happened in Standing Rock, the movement that happened there sparked a global awakening for all. And all indigenous teachings started coming alive within different ethnicities. And they started seeing their connection back to their, as the Paula Horn and the rest of the women of Kulikiche that I talk to now and then, and the elders, they say that they got to find their own way back to their umbilical cord, to Mother Earth. But how many of our people are doing it? And that's what that really comes down to. And I use that statement of Avatar, is like, how many are actually trying to reconnect? And how many are finding that spot in that place to reconnect? Because Mother Earth is telling us, guys, something now. And the world is, you know, it's making their shifts. She's shaking off things, as we say, as in Buffalo Nation. You see those buffaloes get up and start shaking all their stuff off. Well, that's what she's doing. But she's also asking for us to help her. And we must start thinking about, how are we taking care of our own little reservations, communities, our own homes? Are we really recycling stuff? Are we starting to clean it up and start looking at what are the better pathways that are going to be for the next seven generations? So we're at that time in our period of our lives where Unchimaka has awoken a lot of people, but no one's sitting down to try to find what happens for the next seven generations. Seven generations ago, our ancestors sat there and thought about this time of period. And not for me to be sitting here, but, you know, for me to be sitting here trying to talk. And seven generations ago, in a big Omaniche, they all sat in a deal and they all started figuring out how can we get sit there and start extreme. But as time progressed, you know, things started happening through those seven generations and change. Just like seasons come, we started changing as people. But now we have to reshift that. You have to rewind that and start changing back to who we truly are. And that's where we start finding those umbilical cords to figuring out what are those pathways for the next seven generations from now, so that the next seven generations, they exist now in this day and age, from the young one that's just born all the way up to your grandpa. So how are we making sure that we're putting something in place for them? And we will never see the end of it. We'll only see the beginning.
Ooh. And I, you know, that brings up an interesting thing. It's something I talk about once in a while. You know, I've had discussions in my life with non-natives who ask about our history, and you know, some of them are kind of ignorant, as you probably know. But one thing that kept coming up was, well, how come you guys didn't fight? How come you didn't keep fighting? How come you didn't fight to the death, death before dishonor, and all this stuff? And I tried to explain that, you know, the main goal of the tribe is the preservation of the tribe, to look of survival. Okay, we could all fight and all die, and then what becomes of our women, our children, our elders and whatnot. And I try to get that across to them, but it's kind of exactly like what you're saying. and also the awakening. When you wake up and you're out of shape or you need to, you realize you need to exercise or whatever, it's up to you to do it. Or if you suffer with addiction or gambling or alcohol or whatever, nobody can make you stop that. You have to wake up and you have to take that on. And I think that goes with anything, as well as taking care of Unchi Maka. And I think you put that beautifully there. And what do you think we can do other than, you know, what we're doing right now? Is there anything more we can do?
Well, you just stated it. It's the power of choice. We as people have to make that choice now. Is do we want to see something for the next seven generations that's going to exist for them? Or are we just going to sit back and continue in what the chaos that is happening in the world now, the imbalance that is happening? It's always been up to the indigenous nations, especially the native nations here, to how we always cohabit, or how we actually lived amongst the lands here. When we moved from different Wichoti to Wichoti, we always made sure that it didn't leave it the way. We made sure it stayed the same way. I mean, we didn't leave it filthy, dirty, or anything. We made sure that everything grows back. But we never stayed in one spot, so we always just moved back to that deal. But how are we doing that today? And that comes down to, and I'm grateful you said that, because it comes down to choice. So I say that to all my relatives that are listening. And the choice is always theirs, and it's always yours to sit there and make that choice. And to me, when you speak with the Creator, I think your choice is already made. It just takes a time for you to get to those baby steps, to get to that bigger vision of what needs to be done. For all the relatives out that are there, are listening and stuck in their addictions and stuck in their ways, you know, I know it's hard, I know it's a deal, but look at what's all around you. The beautiful lands that we live in and the beautiful way of life that we exist in. We never really truly look at it that way because we're too stuck in our thinking of westernized thinking of what has happened to us. But we never actually saw the true beauty. When you watch our kids, our children, our Wakanja, man, they are so full of that wopi, so full of traditional and spiritual law, that if they seen that you was thirsty, they would go get you some water and they'll give it to you. Without no cost, nothing, they'll make sure that you. But they have that generosity. They have that respect. They have everything there that's so sacred within them. But we as a people just tend to forget that. So that's the choice. What choice are we getting back to, and what choice are we going to make from this day on? And to me, I think the big thing about what's most powerful about today is choosing our mother and helping her find her way so that we can find ours. And that way it restores balance within all.
Oh, yeah. And it, you know, you said that with the, it's easy to look back at what's been done to us, you know, and also play the blame game, which a lot of us do. I've done it. We've all done it at some point. This happened to me. This happened to my people. This happened. And that's why I do this. That's why I do this. But yeah, you're right. You got to look at that. You got to look at that generational trauma or any kind of trauma that has happened to you, and then realize, yes, this happened. How am I going to prevent it from happening? And the spark. I think everybody just needs that spark in order to wake up and come to it. So
I think the biggest thing is, like, when I went to Hawaii, I got to sit around with a stone carver, you know, and he gave me this little rock. He said, "Here, pound this in there." So we pounded it for a while. He made a little thing. And then we ended up making a wick and putting in some of their stuff. And then it became a light. So it was a torch, I mean, like a little lamp. And I asked him at the end, I said, "Well, why do I make this?" He says, "Because some of us have the light and some of us are just holding an empty light. But it's this light here that you light." And I say this to all our relatives, your light matters to us all. Let that be shine together with everyone coming together as a community and as Oyate, and let it be bright for all to start sitting there, bringing their, reigniting their lights to start finding those better pathways. The way that it always looks at, you know, the repetitive history happens all the time, but it's up to us to start trying to find the end of violences and the end of the vicious cycles that we're in continuously.
Spoken like a true genius. Thank you, Lewis, for coming in, and we really appreciate that. And, you know, I try to get this information because, you know, we're listened to every day by thousands of people. And even if just one of those people can hear that and look at themselves and be like, "Oh, yeah, maybe I should do that," or at least feel it inside, you'll know it. You know it. You know it when you feel it. You feel it inside, and you don't have to go and tell anybody, oh, I know what I have to do. You don't have to do any of that. You just feel it, and then you do it, and the world is a better place. The world would be a better place. And yeah, you're right. Let's make it better for the next seven generations. Oh, anything else you want to tell to the people before you get out of here, Lewis?
Like I said, wopila to all of you for coming here within your beautiful lands. But I also wanted to let you know that we love you from Lower Brew as a nation to another nation, because we're all just one nation. And the love that we have for each other is always going to be there, even though the indifferences that do exist within our Oyates, they're all just miscommunications, misinformation. But we could actually rise to the occasion. We've done many times throughout history. We have rose to the occasion, and we have brought many of our nations together to sit there and find that better pathway, in which we will today in every day that we do. I think that's the most important message, is find that pathway for your Oyate and bring them together through your systems.
Uh-huh. Lewis Grassrope, thank you for coming in today, and everybody listening out there, find your spark, find your light. Let's make this world a better place for the next seven generations. Toksha.
Oh, toksha.